Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. So we're going to look at fighting the spiritual war. I don't know if you've looked at America or the world lately, but we're in a unique position, right? As believers, as people that are trying to be who God has called us to be, as the called out ones, as those that are saved by God's mercy and grace, because we try to follow this moral order, we try to be what God's order is, we look at the world around us and go, wow, there's a lot of people that go the opposite direction of that. And what we have to understand is, because of who we are and who we follow, that there is an adversary that does not want us to do anything good. He doesn't want us to love people. He surely doesn't want us to follow God. And he'll do anything in his power, even using the very people God created to divide us and to make our life crazy. I want to read a verse to you, 1 Peter 2:11. Peter's writing to scattered believers. He writes this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, those dishonorable desires that wage war against your soul." You ever think about that when you read that? What's waging war against my soul? Well, just so you know, there is a spiritual war against your soul. If you're a follower of Christ, the devil does not like you, and he's going to wage war against your soul. And so I want to look at this idea that we are in the midst of a spiritual war. It's been happening for thousands of years, but God's made a way. But in that, we have to remember this. We have three enemies, and I want to look at those enemies today. Listen to this, the first enemy, the devil. That name means adversary. One who opposes. He's Satan, the slanderer. He's a fallen angelic being from heaven, and he represents all things evil. All things evil. Meaning, when I say evil, anything that's profoundly immoral and wicked, that's what he represents. And not only that, he is, in a sense, he is against all things good. All things good. And he is your enemy. And you may not think he's an enemy, but he is. The spirit of the devil is the enemy. I pulled something. Let me read through this real quick. I want to read about this word evil. Listen to this. I pulled this. I don't know. The quote says it's someone, but I'm not sure that it's that person. But I want to read this to you. You may have seen this. "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist for itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is like darkness and cold, a man-made word to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is not faith or love, which exist as light and warmth. Evil is the result of the absence of divine love in the human heart. It's the kind of cold that comes when there is no heat, or the kind of darkness that comes when there is no light." Interesting quote, right? When you think about that word evil, it's the absence of good. But where does evil come from? Well, it comes from the devil. And he is your enemy. Listen to this. Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, writing to scattered believers. He said, "Be sober," meaning become serious. He says, "well-balanced and self-disciplined, be alert and cautious at all times." That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Meaning he's wanting to use you up and destroy you. Peter warning scattered believers in that day that your enemy, the devil, is looking to destroy you. He's roaming around. Listen, the devil does not want anything good for you. How do I know this? Because he promotes sin. We see that in Genesis 3 when the serpent tempted Eve. It's the beginning of the work of the devil. And so the devil is an enemy to us. He doesn't want you to be involved in anything good. And the devil is an external enemy, meaning he uses people around you. He'll use your own mind, which can be internal. And so he is an enemy to the follower of God, to the believer of Jesus Christ. And so because of that, we have to be careful and do what? We have to keep watch. We have to be cautious. We have to know that he's working all around us to use people to defeat us, right? He uses all kind of ways to do that. People create doubt in your mind. People say things to you that they say what you believe is not true, or they say things about what we believe or about the church or about how we go about loving and following God. All these things to counter and to make us doubt and be confused. The devil, he prowls around, right? Trying to deceive and hurt us. And so that's your first enemy. The second enemy is the world. Here's what I mean by that. The spirit of the world in its sinful state. So the world we live in, God created. So he said that was good. It's been tainted by sin, which makes it broken. So the world in general by itself is okay. But with us in it, it is a sinful place. And so in that, it can be your enemy. That's why the Bible says we're not of this world. Because if you're of this world, then you're part of a sinful, broken world. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians. Listen to this in 2:12. He says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Now, why was Paul saying that to believers? Because we don't want the spirit of the world. Because it's deceptive. It's an enemy. Listen to this in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust and sensual cravings of the flesh, and the lust and longing of the eyes of the boastful pride of life, pretentious, meaning excessive confidence, in one's resources or in the ability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father. Think about that. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world. And so that's why we don't want to be a part of that. And believe it or not, the world out there is one of your enemies. So the devil's your enemy, the world is your enemy. So this secular worldview, meaning secular, non-religious, non-spiritual, believe it or not, offers that which is not from God. What do they offer? Well, they offer a different order. See, in a secular worldview, anything goes. It's relative. Anything goes. So God's order doesn't make sense. And so it is your enemy. It is my enemy. And much of the secular worldview is subjective and not objective, meaning it's always changing, constantly changing, where God's truth, objective, is never changing. The word is the same today that it was yesterday and forever. It never changes. And so believe it or not, the devil is your enemy and the world is your enemy. And then third, the flesh. The flesh is your enemy. Paul actually wrote in Romans 7 talking about his flesh, how he was in a battle with his flesh. Like the enemy was his sinful nature that he was at war with. And so the flesh is the physical body functioning and dominated by all sinful things, right? Left to ourselves, left to yourself, you're a sinful human being. And your sinfulness will dominate your flesh. Paul struggled with that in Romans 7, writing about it. And so Galatians 5, Paul's writing in 19, listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are, this is why your flesh is an enemy. Listen to this. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Now I want to stop right there. Do you know what sexual immorality is? It's anything that is not part of God's order the way he designed it. So God designed man and woman to procreate with a proper sexual order under marriage. So anything outside of that is sexual immorality. So that means fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. That means any type of other sex, same gender, trans, whatever it is, it's outside of God's order. And so when he says here, the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, meaning not moral according to God, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, this is Paul, hey, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, is he saying that because you did those things, you won't go to heaven? That's not what he's saying. He's saying if your life is lived in the flesh, who is your enemy, and this is your life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Because no follower, believer of Christ that claims salvation can habitually live in the flesh any longer. Can you fall and fail God? Absolutely. That's why he forgives us. But to be in the flesh, that's your enemy. Why? Because it leads you to sin. And so we have to be in a position where we abstain from sinful desires because they wage war against our soul, against your soul. They wage war against your flesh. And so that's why much of the Christian faith is about following God's order and not our flesh, not the world, not the devil, because none of that is from God. And so the world, believe it or not, is your enemy. The devil is your enemy, but so is your flesh. And sometimes your flesh may be the worst enemy of all. And so listen to this verse in Romans 8:13, Paul writing, "For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever." Now, physically is what he's talking about in death, but not only physically, you die spiritually. But when we live by the proof of the Holy Spirit, putting to death our flesh, we live forever spiritually. But not only that, we do know God has a redemptive plan where one day he'll return again and we'll have new bodies, new heaven, new earth. We see that in Revelation. And so with that said, the devil, the world, the flesh, they're all our enemy. Always coming after us. Every day, every minute of the day, you're always going to have to deal with the devil. You're always going to have to deal with the world's offering you, right? Just like the serpent offered Eve, right? No, God didn't say that. You don't have to do that. You can be a Christian and do this. Some of your own friends may say that, right? But then what does your flesh say, right? You ever got in a position where you were doing something wrong that you knew was wrong? You were struggling with some type of sin, right? And you're battling through it. You believe you're saved. We don't escape sin. We have to push through it like everyone else. And in that, your heart starts beating really fast. Where do you think that comes from? It's like it's warning you. Like this is not of God. That's your flesh, right? This battle between your flesh and your spirit, constantly at war. Paul fought with that. All through Romans, we see him talk about the battle between his flesh and his spirit. And so when we think about this, fighting this spiritual war, I got a friend of mine who's going to explain it a little bit easier in 2 minutes. Watch this video.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions.
To give a defense.
What is spiritual warfare?
When a Christian refers to spiritual warfare, what they're talking about is this battle that takes place in the unseen world. We know that the evil one is a created being. He is not equal with God. He doesn't have the same attributes of God, yet he's a lot more powerful than we are. And so the Satan and his minions want to oppress your life as believers. Now, as a believer, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed, and he'll seek to do whatever he can to wear you down through doubts, through worries, through fears, through condemnation, through depression, through messing up your marriage, through causing you to get distracted by creating worldliness. And we need to be aware that our battle is not against flesh and blood, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6, but there is an unseen world, and there is a spiritual battle taking place. And I would encourage you to read Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, whereby you could be spiritually protected. So we need to realize, when we look at the scriptures, that there is the Satan who is after you. There is the adversary, the evil one, the devil, who wants to render you powerless and defeated as a believer. And we also can be encouraged by remembering, as 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But remember that the enemy is like a roaring lion. He roams around seeking whom he may devour. So let's remember James 4:7. Submit to God then. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
So what do we do? What's some practical application? Because I want to defeat my enemy. Now, I know in the long term, Christ has already done that, but I still have to live this life. And so let's look at some quick practical application. 1 Peter 2:12, Paul, or Peter, still writing again, he says, live decent lives. What does that mean, decent? Well, conforming to generally accepted standards of respectable moral behavior. That's what that means. Live decent lives among unbelievers. Then, although they, meaning unbelievers, ridicule you as if you were doing wrong while they are watching you do good things, they will praise God on the day he comes to help you. So much of what we're called to do is, in the midst of this war with our enemy, the devil, the world, and our flesh, we have to be careful that we don't become the devil ourselves, right? We fight a different way, a different war. And so first we should look to heaven. Why? That's where we want to go. We often are always looking in the now and not the big picture, but we look to heaven. Second, we look to Jesus. Why? Because he knows the way. That's why we look to Jesus, because he knows the way. Third, we look to God and his order. Why? Because he knows how to get there. We look to God and his order. There has to be an order. Without order, you have chaos, complete chaos. And then we have to do what? Keep trying. Often tell people, I don't care what kind of blows that the devil and the world and your flesh throw at you, keep trying. Keep trying. Could you imagine if the world stopped trying? What a disaster it would be. You have the free will to do something. That's why you keep trying, right? Keep trying. And then last, you got to accept grace. Why? Because you're going to need to along the way. There's a point where you're going to need some grace as you keep trying. But with that said, Peter continues on in 1 Peter 3:10 and 12. He says, people who want to live a full life and enjoy good days must keep their tongues from saying evil things. See, we don't fight evil with evil. And their lips from speaking deceitful things. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. The Lord's eyes are on those who do what he approves. I want you to remember that. When you're in this battle and you're doing what the Lord approves, his eyes are on you. He hears, his ears hear their prayer, but the Lord confronts those who do evil. And so that's some practical application. What do we do when we're fighting the spiritual war? Well, we look to heaven, we look to Jesus, we look to God and His order, we keep trying, and we accept grace. And remember this, that back in Revelation 20, 21, if you read it, you will see that the evil one is finally destroyed. He's thrown into his own lake of fire as Christ returns for his people. And that may not bring you a lot of comfort right now, but it's good to know that when you're in the midst of doing life and you know Christ and what he's done for you, that you know at the end, we win. And so we do have an enemy. We have three of them. And they're here. They're on this campus. They're in this city. They're in this country, right? They're everywhere. They're all over the world. The devil is everywhere trying to use people to do what? Keep us from being who God's called us to be. He likes a destroyed, messed up order. And so what we need to do is trust in God and His goodness, continue to believe in what He teaches us in His Word, and in that process, we'll get to a place where we can do what? Wake up every morning as I do and put my feet on the floor and tell the devil he's defeated. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Peter, someone that we learned last week we wouldn't even have chosen. But God, you used him to write letters so that we could learn about you. And so, God, he's been an encouragement to believers in that day, and he still is today. And so, God, we know, Lord, there is a spiritual war not just happening here in our personal lives with our flesh, but we see it in the world we live in today. We see it in our nation, and it can be frustrating, Lord. But we know, God, Lord, the devil prowls around trying to destroy all things good. And so, God, help us to be a light to those around us. Help us point people to the way. Give us the boldness to do that. We ask that you forgive us, God, when we do let our flesh get a hold of us. We ask for your mercy and grace in that. But mostly, God, that you would continue to remind us through your people and through your word that one day you're going to make all things new. And in the meantime, you want us to continue to love your people, to glorify you, to serve your people. And as we do that, Lord, we're going to continue to rely on your story. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. See you next week. God bless you. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.